From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues a series in Paul's Epistle to the Colossians. This particular book sets forth the glorious person and work of the Lord Jesus in a manner designed to increase the believer's love for the Savior and to provide guidance in living the Christian life. Prior to the message by Dr. Cairns, we'll have a devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, as well as some Christ-honoring sacred music. This morning's text is found in Job chapter 29 and verse 2. All that I were as in months past. Numbers of Christians can view the past with pleasure, but regard the present with dissatisfaction. They look back upon the days which they have passed in communing with the Lord as being the sweetest and the best they have ever known. But as to the present, it is clad in a sable garb of gloom and dreariness. Once they lived near to Jesus, but now they feel that they have wandered from him, and they say, "Oh, that I were as in months past." They complain that they have lost their evidences, or that they have not present peace of mind, or that they have no enjoyment in the means of grace, or that conscience is not so tender, or that they have not so much zeal for God's glory. The causes of this mournful state of things are manifold. It may arise through a comparative neglect of prayer, for a neglected closet is the beginning of all spiritual decline. Or it may be the result of idolatry. The heart has been occupied with something else, more than with God. The affections have been set on the things of earth instead of the things of heaven. A jealous God will not be content with the divided heart. He must be loved first and best. He will withdraw the sunshine of his presence from a cold, wandering heart. Or the cause may be found in self-confidence and self-righteousness. Pride is busy in the heart, and self is exalted instead of lying low at the foot of the cross. Christian, if you are not now as you were in months past, do not rest satisfied with wishing for a return of former happiness, but go at once to seek your Master and tell him your sad state. Ask his grace and strength to help you walk more closely with him. Humble yourself before him, and he will lift you up and give you yet again to enjoy the light of his countenance. Do not sit down to sigh and lament. While the beloved physician lives, there is hope. Nay, there is a certainty of recovery for the worst cases.
Without thee, O Savior of the world.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're delighted that you've tuned in today, and we're especially grateful for those of you who make this program a regular part of your day. We've been particularly encouraged by the response to the program content. So, if you have written to say that the Lord has blessed you, or to ask for some of the literature that we offer, then take our thanks for your taking time to do so. And if you haven't yet done so, we would be delighted to hear from you. You may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular postal mail. You may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy this program, you might like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio, ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you and that you'll join us on our website this week. As he continues a series of studies in Paul's epistle to the Colossians, Dr. Cairns brings the opening portion of a message entitled, The Essence of New Testament Christianity. The text is verse 29, following Paul's summary of his ministry, that of seeking to produce fully mature Christians. He says in the verse, Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. As Dr. Cairns will emphasize, New Testament Christianity was real because God was at work. Where God is working, there is power. Since neither God nor the gospel has changed, God's people in this century can experience the genuine power of God working in them and then working through them as they touch others for Christ. And now with today's message, here is Dr. Alan Cairns.
Now this morning we return to the last verse of Colossians chapter 1. I must confess I thought I had finished with Colossians 1, but the final verse has rung in my mind and has kept before me as something that I don't think we should overlook. At the end of Colossians chapter 1, the last two verses, Paul speaks of Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. The last time we were in this chapter, I was looking particularly at Paul's burden to labor for fully mature Christians. As he deals with that subject, the apostle says, verse 29, whereunto, that is, in this great work of seeing people brought to maturity in Christ, whereunto I also labor. And he adds these words, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. Or if I could give the words their literal force, they don't sound as good and therefore wouldn't be good for a public translation, but I think they will give the strength of the apostle's feeling. He says, I labor, striving or agonizing according to the energizing of God, which energizes in me or by me in power. With these words, the apostle uncovers for us the essential nature of New Testament Christianity. If there's one thing you could say about the Christianity of the saints of the New Testament era, it would have to be simply that it was real. It was real. God was working. And that meant that there had to be power. Those two thoughts go together. If God is at work, you don't need a circus to make people think there's something happening. If God is at work, you don't need charismatic con men to make people believe that great things are happening. If God is at work, by definition, there is power. That's very clear in what the apostle says in the verse that we have taken as our text this morning. He speaks of the energizing of God, which energizes or is working effectually in and by me in power. And the word power there speaks of a power that is inherent in God's working because of its very nature. So let's establish this at the beginning. According to this text, here is the mark of New Testament Christianity. It is real, and God is at work with genuine power. The gospel was no mere philosophy. It was not some new theory of knowledge or some new theory of life. It was no mere code of ethics. It was the word of the king. And where the word of the king is, there is power. You remember the words that the apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 4, verse 20? The kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. The unique thing about the gospel was that believers in Jesus Christ actually experienced God working in them and God working through them. So much so that even their most bitter enemies had to confess, we cannot deny it. Now, that was true then. Let me state it as a proposition that could never be controverted by any Christian. The gospel has not changed. God is not dead. The slogan of the, or at least a branch of, I was going to call it theology, but it's really heresy, that came out of the Neo-Orthodox movement, was made popular by a Church of England bishop, and it was called the God is Dead theology. Bible believers usually responded to that in a very inconsequential and foolish way, saying that our God is the living God, as if the God is dead theology were saying that God was not really alive and in existence. That's not what they were saying. By God is dead, Bishop Robinson and the others of his ilk intended to teach that though God is not actively intervening, or as they would say, interfering in the affairs of men. They were getting back to something like the God of the deist, the big watchmaker in the sky who wound up the universe and then set it going and sat back in splendid isolation, caring nothing, intervening in no way. This is what they meant by God is dead. We cannot expect to see the intervention of divine power in the affairs of man, and especially in the affairs of the church. Religion, therefore, replaced Christianity, and the actions of man replaced the action of God. That is apostasy. But God is not dead in any sense of the term. And the gospel being the same, the truth of our text is as valid today as it was in the day when Paul first wrote it. So I want us to consider what Paul was saying to the Colossians, always remembering that he's saying the very same thing to us, using himself and his own life and experience as the standard for God's people. The Apostle Paul teaches that God's people experience the genuine working of God's power in them and flowing through them to reach others and touch them for Christ. Now, it's easy to make that statement. It's not quite so easy to get through an exposition of it in the time we have available. I'm not sure if I'll get through the first point, or all 3 points, or maybe wave at them all, or maybe come back to them another time. The Lord will lead. Martin Lloyd-Jones liked to say that preaching was a romance. And he made one statement that this preacher is very, very grateful for. Most other preachers, teachers of homiletics, for example, they abominate this. When you're learning homiletics, of course, I never did learn homiletics, that's why I can't preach. But anyway, when you're learning homiletics, you have got to know where you're starting. I agree with that. You've got to know what you're talking about and make it plain. I agree with that. You've got to have a very clear outline, logically developing. I agree with all that. And they would always say, you've got to know where you're going to end. You've got to get there. And if you don't get there, you've failed. Well, now, by that standard, I have failed more often than I have ever succeeded. Martin Lloyd-Jones said that, in a sense, the preacher ought never to know where he'll finish. The people wonder when he'll finish. He wonders where he'll finish. And there's a reason for that. This is unlike any other book in the world. This is a living book. And the Spirit of God who inspired this book, if the preacher saved and called of God, not only abides within the preacher, but guides him. And therefore, when you've got the Spirit who inspired the Word guiding in the preaching of the Word, He is the one who takes over. And that's why I very often say I am tempted to do this, but as the Lord leads. So I intend to preach on this subject this morning, but we may get only a part thereof. God's people experience the genuine working of God's power in them, and then they experience it working through them as it flows out to reach and touch the lives of other people. The outline's very, very simple. First of all, God's people experience God's power working in them in salvation. Now, let's start there. In the New Testament, you'll see that the vision of the world is very much in terms of black and white. While every man acts according to the disposition of his own will and is responsible for his actions before God, nevertheless, the Word of God clearly teaches that every one of us lives by the spiritual energy either of Satan or of the Lord. Consider what Paul says to the Ephesians in chapter 2. According to him, unsaved men walk according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now energizes in the children of disobedience. Now, that's a plain enough statement. Every man who is dead in sin is dominated by the devil. Every man who is unsaved, unconverted, unregenerate, has energizing within him that evil spirit that prompts the children of disobedience. And that's a reference to Satan. So unsaved men and women are energized by a satanic power. That's Paul's teaching in Ephesians 2. On the other hand, according to our text, saved men labor according to the energy of God, energizing effectually in them with divine power. So in other words, we are all subject to spiritual control. Now, I'm not preaching some sort of dualism by which power is shared between God and Satan. That's not what the Bible teaches. Even Satan himself is subject to the absolute control of the Lord. But according to my Bible, Satan is that spirit who now energizes an unsaved man. Satan does blind the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Satan does deceive and seduce sinners, and he uses them as his instruments in spiritual rebellion to their own utter ruin.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening. and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.